in this episode.
What in life should be at 1080p, but isn't?
Better than it's ever been before, ever.
We are the 80s kids.
No, you can watch that on a fuzzy television or a VHS, that's fine.
Well, you don't need to see it even on... You don't even need to see it on standard definition, to be honest. It's that terrible.
I am Leo. I am one of the 80s kids. And I find the whole format thing very confusing.
We want this in the highest resolution possible you can see it in. We want surround sound. We want smell-o-vision. I'll find what the specs are. I'm Googling it now.
You buy your UHD disc. Then you have to have a UHD player. You need then to pay extra to have them pipe the 4K to you in the first place. May not have the exact cable that 576p that you need to buy 8K television. If you're getting 4K television, at which point you are now screwed and have to buy a new television.
Yeah, yeah. We'll give you a moment to process that before we'll give you any dialogue. Yeah.
This is so depressing. What in life is good other than actual movies and things like that?
But hey, you know, they finally released classic Doctor Who season box sets, which is something I've been thinking about for like decades.
Do we really need this in 1080p? Answer, not at all.
I speak two languages, English and bad English. Gentlemen, we have a problem. The other day I saw my sister watching a film on her tablet. I immediately snatched the tablet away from her and told her she was doing it wrong. You're not supposed to watch things on a tiny little screen with a tinny little speaker. This is clearly Philistine performance going on here. This is totally wrong. We treat this medium with the respect the creator demanded. We want a completely soundproof room, vast screen in front of you. We want this in the highest resolution possible you can see it in. We want surround sound. We want smell-o-vision. We want seats that vibrate in accordance with what's going on the screen so that we are properly immersed and that the medium is coming to us in the way that the creators intended for us to consume them. Otherwise, we're just doing it all wrong.
And I take it that, of course, the cinematic masterpiece that you're referring to there, Ian, was, of course, Aladdin 2, The Return of Jafar, which must be viewed in the original 4K with the surround sound and the vibrating seats. Because otherwise, what's
no, no, you can watch that on a fuzzy television or a VHS, that's fine.
Well, yeah, exactly.
That's the format and it was sold to us in, so that's how it should be.
And there it is. We are the 80s kids, and one of us is pretty confused about what format to watch ropey Disney spin-off sequels in, and the other one isn't. And then there's a third one as well, because we have three people on this show, which always confuses my shtick at that point. Yes, I am Leo. I am one of the 80s kids, and I find the whole format thing very confusing. Ian, do you find formats very confusing?
I'm sorry, I'm far too busy. I have to upgrade the audio quality of our backlog of previous podcasts to be a correct surround thing majig. I'll find what the specs are. I'm Googling it now.
And Mike, do you find formats confusing?
I'm not sure confusing is the word I'd choose. I've navigated my way through it pretty well, I think. But, you know,
well, let me put that to an end, because I think I've got a bit of an icebreaker to get us into the topic. And the icebreaker runs as such. What in life should be at 1080p, but isn't? What in life is at 1080p, but shouldn't be?
A very obvious line in the sand, I think you could argue, I don't know how true it is that is it right to go back and retroactively upgrade things from the past to be higher resolutions, remix the audio to be in glorious stereo, which could be an upgrade in certain cases? I mean, is that a thing we should be doing? Modern screens have advanced so much that this material simply has to be upgraded to high resolution using intelligent AI dithering?
Actually, not necessarily. And that's not necessarily how you would upgrade the picture quality in certain cases.
To address that question directly, I think one of the lines for me is around traditional cartoon animations. I don't see really there's much benefit to going HD or UHD for just a regular cartoon animation. It's like something like Master of the Universe that just dropped, for example. There's no real benefit to watching that higher res at all.
So remastering it, taking out all the imperfections, steadying it so it's rock solid on the screen. You think that's a bit of a waste of time, all things considered?
So there we go. I was more on the basis of, and maybe you could think about this and come back with some answers later, that something that should be at 1080p in life but isn't is something along the lines of everything that happens in the UK news at the moment. It's all in high def. It's all like amazingly, you know, examined and pored over and micromanaged. And really, it's just, as Ian puts it, blancmange. And we should just look at it as the big blur that it is. As to what should be in 1080p, something good. This is so depressing. What in life is good other than actual movies?
If you have a wish list for what you could see better than maybe you did before.
Yeah.
But the danger is in wanting to see old shows in better resolution. The sets and the costumes and the makeup weren't necessarily done to an exacting degree that would immediately become apparent when you go to a higher resolution.
Oh, yes.
Next Gen, for example, you'd be like, well, it'd be great to see Next Gen in HD, but then actually it'd be like, well probably not, because then you'd just see how primitive some of the sets, the makeup
you've actually
is.
On one of my first experiences of HD, I happened to get the Back to the Future trilogy on Blu-ray because it was immensely cheap. And I didn't happen to have a copy of it at the time. And I thought, hey, this would be good. And weirdly, of the trilogy, the one that looks best in 1080p, well, not weirdly at all, but it turns out the one that looks best in 1080p is the third one, because those Western sets look really good in high def. What really doesn't look good in high def is all the aging makeup in the first one, where you can really see like weird little bat wings stuck to Strickland's eyes and stuff like that, like very, very clearly. And you're like, oh dear, that on blue DVD hid a multitude of sins when it came to these pictures, but they're right there in 1080p in the big.
I think the reason this is happening is simply because they've already sold us all these films and TV series, once on video, once on DVD. So they've got to think of some other gimmick about why you should definitely get this definitive version, better than it's ever been before, ever.
You cynic. although, to be fair, I think that this is the way that I see it, because I was very much that way about Blu-ray. I thought, well, what's the point? DVD basically does the job. And so this show is actually going to be three lists which form the basis of such an argument. One of which, the first list, is five movies which are really only at their best when at, and I'm going to go for 1080p here, because 4K is a whole other discussion which will worm in there somewhere. Then the second list will movies that you just, there's no point in putting them at 1080p. They're about as good as they get at 576p, and they're not going to get better for more resolution. Therefore, 4K is right out of the question. And five movies that could really do with a full 1080p remaster, which doesn't say that they aren't available in what is technically 1080p, but this is one of the problems of 1080p, which we shall get to. So I've carefully constructed these lists to bring out all the issues. So let's start with the thing that's pretty safe. Movies which, if you watch them below 1080p, you're not getting as much out of them. And my list of these movies is 12 Monkeys, Big Trouble in Little China, The Avengers Infinity War Duo, that is Infinity War and Endgame, Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, and Blade Runner and Blade Runner 2047. I've kind of included the whole of the Blade Runner universe and the whole of the Avengers two-part movie as one entry in both cases, because the reasons why are exactly the same in both cases. Now, as it happens, I did watch a little bit of Blade Runner 2047. in 4K, and to be honest, it still looks terrific even then. So 1080p might not be the best, but it's certainly the lowest bar. Watching it on DVD, I would argue, is doing it a big disservice. But I would imagine, Ian, that you were quite surprised at my inclusion of Big Trouble in Little China in the list, seeing as you were talking about watching an old movie that's been gussied up. What's your experience of Blu-ray, Ian? Did you watch any? A lot?
I own a Blu-ray player because I felt I should. Felt this is where the wind was going. But I do not have one plumbed into my computer, which is the comfortable place where I sit down and watch things. It's in the front room. But exactly one set of DVD, Blu-ray discs, which is season 2 of Westworld. Should have got season 1 instead and just called it quits. So, no, I haven't really partaken. But hey, you know, they finally released classic Doctor Who season box sets, which is something I've been thinking about for like decades.
On Blu-ray?
Only available on Blu-ray.
This is exactly the thing you were talking about. It's like, really, that is not doing classic Doctor Who.
All the Blu-ray, all the DVDs in as individual stories. But now they're going to do in the box sets. I just want 26 box sets on my shelf. That's classic Doctor Who. It is what it is. Thank you very much.
Well, gosh. And Mike, where did you come into the Blu-ray party?
Quite a while ago, I guess. I wasn't an early adopter, but they just seemed to be a natural transition point where Blu-rays were cheap enough. And
I'm amazed at how cheap some Blu-rays are.
Yeah, and probably, I've got quite a lot of physical media on the shelf. Probably a third of that now is Blu-ray. And actually, I'm just now, because I've got a 4K TV. I'm just now, if I'm getting a new film, I'll think about maybe getting the 4K version instead. But you know, I guess that's
this discussion right here may help you with that exact decision. Yeah, yeah. Like, because what surprised me after the Back to the Future thing. I think the reason I even got the Big Trouble in Little China one was because, so Nightbreed was the next Blu-ray that I got, and that is quite good at 1080p. Now, of course, one of the things that's different, I think very different, with the Blu-ray generation of home media versus the old DVD one is that you had companies like Arrow and Studio Canal and so on and so forth that did prestige, and of course the famous Criterion. They did special sets of DVDs, but the way that they mastered the movie, well, they might say digitally remastered, but they kind of left it there. Now in the age of Blu-ray, they make these very specific, they inform you very specifically on the box. We have completely remastered. We've taken a 4K master and made your Blu-ray out of that 4K master. So in the 1080p version, it's got literally every pixel that can be crammed into the picture is absolutely there. And when I saw Nightbreed, I was like, actually, this is pretty good. It's a lot less muddy than any version I've seen before, which was usually on video or a rip of a video, because they didn't do a version on DVD, so that was fine. So then I thought, hey, maybe I'll get that Big Trouble in Little China one, and I was amazed, because I remember going to see Big Trouble in Little China in the cinema. I was one of the 10 people that did this, and then I got the DVD re-release when that was a big thing, and I was like, yeah, I enjoy this movie, maybe time has not been kind. But then when I redid it with the 4K remaster and then back into 1080p for the Arrow re-release, suddenly there's something about John Carpenter movies in particular, where he was making those movies on celluloid, and his editing and everything that he was putting in, I didn't realize that there was a difference. I didn't realize that when you downscaled it to the old, you know, SD 576p, that you would lose parts of the picture. You do. I mean, that is just the way it is. I mean, if you're making a film on celluloid to be shown on a gigantic cinema screen, and then you downscale it to 576p, you lose stuff. And so Big Trouble in Little China, just, it feels more epic at 1080p. 12 Monkeys is a completely different story. I never saw that in the cinema. I only ever saw it VHS, then DVD. And when I got the Arrow redo of that, there are whole bits of the picture you cannot see below 1080p that completely change the way you're looking at the movie, because Terry Gilliam's pictures are so detailed that 576p you just can't, your eye can't separate it all out. At 1080p you start to be able to.
There's like the montages of like newspaper clips and things that scans past and and you can actually see what they're all about, can't you?
Well, when Bruce Willis is in the big chair being shown some historical documents in preparation for a mission, and there's this like sort of bronze pig's head at 576p, you can't really see it. It's just sort of part of the blurb. He's being shown stuff, but you see this bronze pig's head. It's quite striking at 1080p, and then he's on the corner of the street and looks over, and that bronze pig's head is over a building. And I'd always realised that he kind of put it all together from the news clippings on DVD. But when you've got this specific thing, which is this weird squashed bronze pig's head, and you can follow Cole's thought of that was in that picture that I saw, it deepens the I was amazed because I'd never seen it in cinema. Of course, obviously in the cinema, you'd probably have been able to see it again, because again, it was on celluloid. He didn't really think about what it would look like when it was downgraded for home performance. Infinity War Endgame, I've actually never seen them below 1080p. I'm just assuming that they kind of made it for that scale. Spider-Man to the Spider-Verse is very interesting, because usually with animation, I wouldn't say you really need to see it at 1080p. But Spider-Verse is just bonkers, and the amount of visual information in those screens is nuts. And without 1080p, it's just a lot of colours.
Yeah, well, it's deploying different animation styles on the screen simultaneously, isn't it?
What do we need to say about Blade Runner 2047? I mean, what's more remarkable? What's really interesting is that the reason I put Blade Runner and Big Trouble in China and 12 Monkeys into this list of things that only look great at 1080p is because these are all examples of movies that were made by the directors to be shown on cinema screens. And they show this thing of, I made this for the big screen. Because there was a period from the late 90s where DVD became a thing, where actually filmmakers made films, and they do now, with this idea that, I still want this to look good on home media, so I'm going to make it in a particular way where actually you lose nothing by taking some of the definition out, which could be seen as a great shame, or it could just be seen as practical filmmaking, and we'll get onto that list in a minute. But those were
that you don't have anything from Nolan on there, because Nolan's very much committed to that philosophy of doing it for the big screen, shooting as much thing at IMAX as much as possible.
Yeah, the only reason I can't commit to that is because I've actually never watched, the only thing I've seen that would count as being in 1080p was I went to see Inception at the cinema. Obviously saw the Batman movies at the cinema as well.
Dark Knight is where it would be one of my picks, yeah, because it's
I haven't watched my 1080p copy of The Dark Knight yet, because it's
awesome.
Well, there we go then. So there we go. See, and this is the point. This is what comes out. You find it. Yeah, Nolan, obviously, he also makes films on celluloid and at 1080p. And one of the things that this gives me the lie of is one of the confusing parts of this whole format thing is streaming services that are offering, or say they are offering, 1080p. Because the next list that I read, which will be things that will never be improved at 1080p, I have seen a couple of these at 1080p, and honestly, there's nothing to see there. But what's even more interesting is that 1080p, as delivered by a streaming service, is like, well, it's a technical spec. It's not what could be delivered in this 1080p stream. It's what we're delivering over the stream at 1080p. I'm pretty sure that a Blu-ray of Tenet would look a lot better than the 1080p stream from Sky Movies of Tenet. And that's one of the things. DVD, SD quality, it's standard. It's all the same. Like, if you watch a stream or you watch a DVD, all the picture quality is the same. But if you watch a stream of something at 1080p, that doesn't mean you're getting all the 1080p you can eat. And I find that quite irritating and wrong.
Well, I think it's a fair point, but I tend to consume most of my film on physical media rather than on streaming services. I use streaming a lot more for TV shows, where I guess that is also still true.
On that subject of physical media, it's definitely a mark of us being Generation X's, owning things on a permanent format. And like, as you say, not just like sticking it in the back of a cupboard or something like that, but as you have it, you know, in your background, your private place on your shelf, like I do, and I know certain Leo does as well. Very much what we do, that we don't, as a series isn't ours until we own it as a physical copy on our shelves. In that respect, like, Blu ray's been around for quite a while. Let's remember here, I think the first physical player was released in like the mid 2000s, I believe, is when Blu ray came out.
Yeah.
Well, DVD was only like mid to late 90s, so it didn't have, DVD was not king for very long. Like, video ruled for 20 years.
Quite a while Blu ray was available, DVD was still the king, because people just weren't shifting.
People's televisions and surround sound home systems hadn't caught up.
Yeah, and that is one of the things. I mean, there was obviously a big techno leap, and again, we're seeing the same thing with 4K, except that it's the rock being rolled up the hill is even worse. And the thing is, as well, in order to sort of scam as much money as possible, I'm using the word scam advisably with 4K, you've got real big problems with 4K, such as you need the thing that'll play it, you need the cable that'll pipe it to the 4K television. If you're getting 4K from a streaming service, you need to pay extra to have them pipe the 4K to you in the first place. I mean, 4K is a format which is, I mean, everybody's wringing their hands in the industry about why isn't the uptake greater, but on the one hand. But on the other hand, if you wanted to watch a DVD, you bought a DVD player, you put the DVD in the DVD player, hooked up to the television, and it played the DVD. That was where the confusion ended. With 4K, you buy your UHD disc, then you have to have a UHD player. Then you have to have a particular type of cable, and the type of cable may go to a 4K television, but that 4K television may not have the exact cable input that you need to pipe the 4K into that television, at which point you are now screwed and have to buy a new television. It's like, really, is it any wonder that people aren't that fussed, and there's more to that, you know, to come? I think it's possibly time to introduce our second gallery, the gallery of movies where all of that would certainly not be worth it for 4K and isn't even really worth it for 1080p. The list of movies, and I've picked them somewhat arbitrarily, but I've also picked them for specific reasons, are Just Like Heaven, Lego Movie, X-Men Dark Phoenix, Cocktail, and Predestination. And the reason I picked them is that Just Like Heaven is a romantic comedy. It's never going to be any more or less than it is at a higher resolution. Like, you watch it on a DVD, you get the whole movie. There is no more to it. The Lego Movie is an animation, but it's like, it's an animation that's aping Lego blocks moving around. There is no point in increasing the resolution beyond 576p. I've seen a 1080p version of it, and it's completely pointless. In the same way, whoever made X-Men Dark Phoenix knew which way the wind was blowing on that film set, because I've seen it in 1080p, and honestly, I don't need to. It's not been made in any way to take advantage.
You don't need to see it even on. You don't even need to see it on standard definition, to be honest.
I mean, it passes a couple of hours. It's not, you know, it's incredibly mediocre. And the fact is that upping the resolution doesn't make it any less mediocre, which in some cases it can. Like, one of the things about Blade Runner that's quite remarkable is that those people that saw it first on VHS, even if they liked it, they realized, oh, it's a bit slow. And it's a bit like, yeah, it's slow because if you need to see it at the higher definition, your brain is being blown. Every 5 seconds, you're going, oh my God, there's so much picture, right? And when they blew it down, when they took it down to like VHS and even on DVD, it just doesn't recover. Whereas X-Men Dark Phoenix, you take it down, it's like, nope, nothing of value has been lost. Cocktail is a very interesting one, because I picked this specifically because usually pictures from the 1980s that have been taken from celluloid and then remastered from that celluloid into 1080p gain something for the experience of being taken straight from the celluloid. But Cocktail, let's face it, it was a pretty cynical movie project even in like 1989 or whatever it was. And honestly, it's a drama about a man mixing drinks. It doesn't benefit from being any... DVD makes it all clearer and the sound quality on a DVD allows you to hear the Hippie Hippie Shake and Kokomo about as well as you need to. But taking it any further than that is an exercise in pure futility. Predestination is an actual cinema movie from this era, but I think that the Spearig brothers wanted to be able to get that sci-fi vibe towards you even at 576p, so they make it clear, they make it stark, and the film survives admirably at 576p. It doesn't need to be at 1080p.
It's got quite a noir. It doesn't have sci-fi visuals, really. It's quite an intimate film.
You seem to be making the "it's just not worth it" argument, but isn't there also a kind of Philistine argument to be had here? These were shot and filmed and edited on analog media. It just has that quality and texture to it. Isn't that almost intrinsic to the quality of it? Like listen to music off an LP or something.
No, X-Men Dark Phoenix was shot on digital and delivered to cinemas in digital and is always digital. There's no celluloid involved in X-Men Dark Phoenix.
Yeah, but generally speaking, as a principle of it, by upgrading what is film and upgrading it to some sort of digital resolution quality, are we detracting from the emotion of that experience of watching something on a film print?
In some cases, absolutely yes.
Is that as big a Philistine thing to do as colorizing a black and white film?
No, I don't. Well, I mean, right. This is my point. I think that when you take the things from the first list, like 12 Monkeys, Big Trouble in Little China, Blade Runner, and you digitize them, until you've digitized them to a certain quality, they don't work anymore. When you take Cocktail, which was certainly filmed on celluloid to start out with, 576p doesn't hurt it at all. And as for the others, I know for a fact that Dark Phoenix was shot on like Blackmagic 4K digital cameras. I don't know what Just Like Heaven or Predestination were filmed on, but I imagine it was digital because digital is cheaper and both movies are not huge budgets. And it was the era when you filmed things on digital, because that happened pretty quickly after 2000. So all of these films, with the exception of Cocktail, started life as digital artifacts to start out with. And probably...
As a general principle, though.
Well, this is exactly the thing of the third listicle, you see. Because as a general principle... You're doing a great job of setting up the next part of the show. So thank you very much for that.
You're welcome.
That's the thing. This is why the modern era is so confusing. It's like there are certain things which I would say 1080p is the bar. And before we get into that last listicle, I'm going to say why 4K? Unless you have really gone to make an artistic decision that 4K is the optimal, like the IMAX style, huge scale. So Blade Runner 2047 would definitely fall into that category. And I have watched it at a bit of 4K, and it is incredible. But then I've also done a side-by-side comparison of the first 6 minutes of the Chris Pratt movie Tomorrow War, available on Prime, which can be rendered, if you have the equipment, at 4K, or you can watch it at 1080p if you haven't got the equipment. And I just watched it at both resolutions, and it is certainly true that there is some crazy stuff in the first 6 minutes of the Tomorrow War. There's a bit where Chris Pratt goes out of his house to put something into the rubbish while talking on a phone. And in 4K, you can see all the way down the street and all of the other house fronts and all the little Christmas ornaments that they have in the thing. In 4K, it looks incredible. And in 1080p, you just see him walk outside, put someone in the bin, and there's a street behind him. You don't really see the street. And my question is this: why do you need to see the street? It's completely pointless.
There used to be a job called a focus puller, wasn't there?
Yeah, I mean, the 4K increases the depth of field so that the focus is, you know, you can see so much more. But when it's a street with some light-up Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer ornaments on it, I don't need to see that. And actually, I found that you felt more wrapped up in the forward motion of the story's events at 1080p. 4K was just like, oh, look how you can see that. You start to be a tourist, which is exactly why Blade Runner is 2047 has such a slow story, because it's cut in between. It's got this thing where it's like, here's something for you to see, and your mind is like, wow, look at the detail. Look
yeah, yeah. We'll give you a moment to process that before yeah. we'll give you any dialogue.
And then we'll do yeah. a little bit of dialogue. And it's actually in that interplay between big pictures and these little scenes, this sort of sci-fi story, the art of Blade Runner 2047 is made. And at 1080p, it's perfectly acceptable. As soon as I don't...
That,
I would
that probably feel... speaks to something to... like some of the old Golden Age like pictures... and a lot of westerns as well back in the day as well
oh, have yeah.
that similar pacing to them, and you can imagine it was probably perhaps very similar reasons, because people then weren't seeing those vistas on the big screen before, the directors, the producers wanting to give the opportunity to absorb it before you hit them with story yeah. and stuff as well.
I haven't included any spaghetti westerns on any of the lists. But partly because it's kind of heartbreaking, because they've never been, even I've looked it up, and even the 1080p remasters of Clint Eastwood, you know, Man with No Name trilogy, they're just pumped out by the studio that owns the rights. They're not given loving care. And
it's more of a boomer thing, I hate to say that, but it's my dad loves a good western, and I am basically his film buddy if a western comes out, because there's no one else who can go see a western with him. I don't think they necessarily have the surround sound. They are just guys who own a nice television and a player. They don't think about yeah. it much more beyond that. Which, yeah, which is kind of like, it's kind of like this curve of high quality. And it's almost like we're almost starting to overshoot, that you can go too far.
Yeah, 4K is definitely, can be too far. Like, unless you have a specific, and it's a bit like we were talking in the 2010 Top 10 show, clearly about 2013 Top 10 show, sorry, about Gravity. And how it was a roller coaster ride and blah blah blah, how do you need to see that movie? Like, Alfonso Cuarón set out to make that in 3D for people to enjoy it in 3D and blah blah blah. It was an artistic choice. And what's really weird is that the 4K IMAX super size me resolution, like recently Shang-Chi came out and they did IMAX prints of it so that you could go and watch it in IMAX, and I'm like, yeah, but the filmmaker didn't go, I'm going to make Shang-Chi for IMAX. He went, I'm going to make Shang-Chi for the cinema, 1080p style, and they'll do some IMAX prints, but it's not necessary. Whereas Villeneuve's made Dune, and there is no doubt in my mind that is going to be, again, more of this same, I'm making the bit. And Sergio Leone was doing the exact same thing back in the day. With his westerns, and you know, seeing Once Upon a Time in the West on a big screen, which I was fortunate enough to catch in the 90s, it just doesn't work as well, even at, you know, 576p. And it, at 1080p, my hesitation to rush out and buy Blu-rays is that what people don't realize is that a lot of Blu-rays that are not specifically, the reason they put on the box, we have blown this up to 4K or remastered it at 4K from the celluloid and then squashed it down to 1080p, is what they're saying is, we have made this the most 1080p it can be. Whereas usually if it's just one that doesn't say anything about how it was made 1080p, it's taken from a 1080p DVD master and just slapped on the disc, and it's a bit disappointing. And that is why the westerns thing in particular is so sad, because you don't get the full picture experience you could at 1080p. And I am sure that you are right, Mike, that if they did it at 4K big remaster, they would be utterly spectacular, because that was the point. That's why people were so blown away in the cinema in the 60s by these movies.
But to circle back to what you were saying at the beginning, I've never felt confused by all these choices, because to me it's always felt self-evident that it's only worth spending the extra money on the higher format, or going to see it in the cinema in the higher format, if there is something better to see, like visually to see, if it is just a rom-com or it's just an animation or whatever. Well, yeah, it doesn't make any sense to do that. I mean, so, I'm like, I do go to IMAX, but I only go to IMAX for something spectacular, whether it's that's shot in IMAX for that format, where you expect to see something better. And I've never felt confused by that. I've always felt that's quite obvious.
I think that just indicates you did your homework in the first place. I mean, the notion, this is the thing, you'll see plenty yeah. of people who are just like, I've bought my copy of Love Actually in UHD because you Philistines don't appreciate it. You're like, it doesn't need to be in UHD. Stop it. And this is the point, yeah. What Ian said about overshooting. Like, the idea that there's a thing where it's like, yeah, technically it's bigger and it's better. Well, it's bigger. And that's an overshoot. Like, you didn't need to do this. Completely unnecessary. I'm going to actually completely reverse that now and do the last list, which is things that have not had that full 1080p remaster. That doesn't mean they're not available on Blu-ray. It just means that I've never seen a case where they've gone, we've remastered this at 1080p. And my list is as follows. The Big Lebowski, The Crow, Enemy of the State, Silence of the Lambs, Aeon Flux, which are all movies that I have seen at the cinema, like even Enemy of the State, which a lot of people missed, but I happened to go and see it.
Anyone who wants to own a copy of Silence of the Lambs already owns a copy of Silence of the Lambs. I think that's market saturation as far as that thing goes. But high quality is the only place you can really go with this. And I'm not sure how many people are going to go, oh my goodness, I was on the fence about getting Silence of the Lambs, but my goodness, okay, now I'm sold.
Well, it's about selling people the same thing again. And I think the silence, the reason there's no high def remix of Silence of the Lambs that is like properly,
you have to do the whole trilogy. Mind you, you could,
well, exactly. Hannibal in 1080p / 4K, no problem. I think that you could pitch that to people. Maybe you thought this was a bit weird when it was out VHS and then DVD, but trust me, in 4K, I mean, Ridley Scott is responsible for Blade Runner. I mean, there's also great remasters of Alien. Ridley Scott, you can sell like a Ridley Scott movie, high def.
Kingdom of Heaven, maybe.
Yeah, Kingdom of Heaven Blu-ray. Actually, that's the first Blu-ray I ever bought. It wasn't the first one I watched, but it was the first one I bought, and because I could only get the director's cut of Kingdom Heaven on Blu-ray, so that's how I had to buy it, because I'd heard it was a waste of time on stand. In fact, I tried to watch it and I fell asleep again. And a high-def director's cut of Kingdom of Heaven is a completely different movie. Like, never mind Zack Snyder's Justice League.
That is, yeah, like, or Alien 3.
Awesome. Awesome. So good. Ridley Scott, you can sell. It's that Red Dragon box checking exercise. That's the one where it's like, do we really need this in 1080p? Answer, not at all. So that's why the tragedy of the science. Although, to be fair, if the rights holders went to the, you know, if they did, like Arrow and Studio Canal both, they're quite happy to do movies in franchises where they've just got the rights to one of them and they're just going to do it up. You know, so one day, Silence of the Lambs may turn up. The Crow, I think, don't think anyone's ever going to remaster it. It's available from the DVD master in 1080p.
Is it something of a bit of 90s emo angst sort of film? Is it just kind of, it's our generation teenager thing rather than the modern generation?
I really couldn't answer that question. But
aren't
I
they trying to remake it again?
I think they probably are. I mean, they've done a big director's cut, super remaster of Dark City, which was the following movie from Alex Proyas. And I think that part of Alex Proyas' career, the part before he made Gods of Egypt and iRobot, that's what I mean by that. This guy could do stuff once. Look at this stuff, it's great. Forget that Gerard Butler being an Egyptian god stuff. That's good for a laugh. But, you know, he could do stuff. Look at this Dark City with Richard O'Brien and Rufus Sewell. Look at it, and Kiefer Sutherland. Dodgy accent, but that's part of the charm, you know? I mean, it does scratch my head. Like, Coen Brothers. I think the Coen Brothers, the problem there is they make the movie goes to the cinema, and it gets out on home media. They don't really care about that. They want their movie to hit the cinema. And that's the point, they don't care. They're part of a genre of director, and I would count David Lynch in this as well. It's just other people obsessively remaster David Lynch movies. On which point, the Dune remaster of David Lynch's Dune is amazing, even with all the bits chopped out of it and how unhappy he is with it. It's a brilliant experience, so, you know, worth seeing. But I think, yeah, the problem here is that the Coens don't care about home media.
Yeah, because the Hudsucker Proxy is not on Blu-ray either, is it?
No, they I honestly think that they make them for the cinema, which means they're perfect candidates for full 1080p remasters, but they don't really, it's not their agenda. I mean, they've done the Netflix stuff, like the Buster Scruggs movie and stuff like that. But the point is that they make the artifact for its initial platform. So in the case of Big Lebowski Cinema, and the case of
apparently Buster Scruggs, apparently Fincher's Panic Room hasn't been, there's no HD version.
That is interesting. Although I'm not a big fan of that. I think that movie's a bit flat, even with.
Oh yeah. But he's a bit of an aficionado, isn't he?
Yeah. I mean, Aeon Flux I put on this list because it's like one of those movies, like, whoever is going to revisit that, to be honest.
It is a movie that was made just for you.
It is a movie that was made just for me. And therefore, although I could say, look, this has been brilliant, 1080p. It's not the 1080p version that exists, I have heard reliably, is just the DVD master slapped on a disc. So,
was it even classified as a cult hit?
No, it's just a thing that happened, because that's what it is. I mean, nobody's going back to Aeon Flux and going, what a strange artifact of quasi 70s high concept sci-fi this is. They're just going, that was weird. So yeah, that's that. An Enemy of the State is actually the surprising one. This is a Tony Scott rather than Ridley Scott movie. This actually does count as a cult classic. Weird that it has like Will Smith in it and is in a big Bruckheimer movie. But at the time, people kind of watched it. But over time, it's become like the sort of the digital equivalent of the conversation. Like the people have gone, actually, this is pretty smart with its analysis of
people said it was a spiritual sequel to the conversation, didn't they?
Because exactly. Well, they eventually did. They didn't say that at the time. They just said, "Oh, it's this weird Will Smith action movie. I'm not sure I like it." And then later they went, "Actually, no, hang on, this is pretty good." And I'm amazed, bearing in mind the fact that both Ridley and Tony Scott make things that, when you blow them up to 1080p, look amazing. Although I have to say, Deja Vu, they're one of Tony Scott's last movies, looks really good even at 576p. And the way that because he's filming it on digital, and they brought the budget down to help out New Orleans, like a lot of the budget went into revitalizing New Orleans, he actually did lots of digital processing. That means that Tony Scott actually did this thing where he did care about people watching things on home media, because the digital passes mean that it forgives on DVD a lot more, but still look bloody great at 1080p as well. And that's the thing, you know, it's like the previous generations, however much we have done our homework, and I have done my homework, Mike has done his homework, and Ian seems not to care. For the consumer today, when you say, I'm going to buy a copy of such and such, the option of, is it going to be digital? Is it going to be physical media? Is it worth going to 4K? Is it even worth buying the Blu-ray? Because if you have a media server like I do, what I say is, you know, like, it's going to take up a lot more space to store things at 1080p. So can I get away with doing it at 576? Because then it'll only be less than a gigabyte and it's there. This is a weird time for that. And that's why this is the title of the show. High, definitely a weird time for home media. You seem to have given up on that whole thing in system error, Ian. Was that a fair assessment of why you've got one set of Blu-rays? And
I don't think I actually buy or consume enough physical media these days to really have a forceful opinion on it. I mean, yeah, my viewpoint is, if they're just trying to sell me the same thing again, in a better with a new polish, it's not necessarily a bad thing.
Sometimes they really are saying this is the definitive version. Like, I'm not sure, for example, that a 4K UHD treatment of 12 Monkeys would really deliver all that much more, because Gilliam wasn't thinking in those terms at the time that he shot that in the 90s. So the 1080p is where it kind of tops out. But then there are things which, you know, maybe. And then that means that the point about that is that when they're trying to sell you this UHD stuff with, oh, you need a special cable and a special machine and a special television, you're like, yeah, but there's like 10 movies that really benefit from this treatment. So, too expensive. Sorry, dudes. Mike, would you agree with that?
Well, maybe not 10, but yeah, there's... there are a minority of things that that genuinely benefit from that resolution. Certainly at this point in time, this is a decision I only made because it was convenient, because we just moved house and I needed a new telly anyway. And I think we're just at the point now where more and more stuff is going to be made that will benefit from it. So it's a good time to make that move.
Yeah, I mean, I have the 4K on the telly because our old telly, basically the remote receiver broke, so the television still worked, but you had to fiddle about with buttons on the back of it to change functions, and it was really inconvenient. And we saw this 4K telly at £300 and went, yeah, we'll have that. So that's the only reason that I got any of that at all.
I probably spent a bit more than £300 on buying. But if I'm going to do it, I might as well get one of the new leading Sonys and go to town.
My determination that 1080p is generally the top is definitely, I cannot push it any further than that. So there we go. So with all of that conversation brought together, if people want to take to the internet and tell us that Moonstruck starring Cher from the late 1980s could really only be appreciated in 4K UHD, where might they go in to voice such an opinion for our consideration?
One place you could go to put us on blast in high resolution would be our Facebook group page. You can find them facebook.com/groups/80s kids. Please go there and join our group page, and we can all be in a group together talking about 80s things. But we're putting up a film club, aren't we there, Leo?
There is a film club there, which so far I've tried to stick to things that are available on Netflix or Prime or Disney Plus, something where you can get to it fairly easily. But yeah, I may step out when we're not actually recording a season, because then it's just a group activity, isn't it? It's like a book club. I mean, you don't go to a book club and say only books we can all get out from the library. So that's just what we've been trying to do, and we've had some interesting results so far on that film club, and I'm hoping that it grows, as indeed the group does, and as time goes on. You can also, of course, find us in other places, can't you, Ian? And we managed to get halfway through the shtick and pimp the group. Where else can people find us?
You can find us at the80skids.blogspot.com, where you can find a complete archive of all our shows, now number over 140. And you can now stream those directly from the Internet Archive or download to your PC for dark reasons of your own. But this is not the only things we have to say about ourselves and being on the internet, is it?
No, we also go round and round in circles in the main group of an internet radio station called Geek Towers, which I am pushing forward to be the radio for of geeks. And currently we do a lot of that filling in, but I'm looking for other people to come and do other content into that rotator. But we're definitely there, and that also has a Facebook groups, Geek Towers, or one word. You can find me also occasionally streaming at twitch.tv EnoMconey, but that's enough places that you can find me on the internet. Mike is a purveyor, a designer, a creator of fabulous worlds of board games. Mike, where can people find your board games, and what are they called, and what are they about?
You can find me, Mike Nutt, online on LinkedIn, on Board Game Geek. My games Waggle Dance and Termite Towers are available to pre-order now. I think should be out later this year. Developed a DICE theme park, which should also be out later this year. It was on Kickstarter last year, and other future projects hopefully soon.
I mean, it must have been a fairly lean time for you during the pandemic, when nobody could gather around to play these games. I've myself acquired 4 or 5 board games during the pandemic. I was like, it'll be nice when I can play these with somebody, but
surely this is the time for the family board game, isn't it?
It is indeed. So, and now you know where you can get them and who you can get them from, so that is absolutely amazing. I'm going to go and scratch my head in puzzlement about what format to watch various movies in for the rest of the day. How about everyone else? What are your high definition, standard definition, ultra high definition plans for the rest of the day?
I intend to do the rest of the podcast in a lower audio definition than everything else, because I just want to be old timey and curmudgeonly about it all.
Very good.
We probably will watch the film tonight, but whether what format it will be in will be depending on what's on my shelf, so we'll have to wait and see.
Yes, well, I'm going to end on the bombshell that last night I watched Gremlins 2 in 1080p, and it was the first time that I've experienced this, and I'll tell you, if it was going to go onto one of the lists we've discussed, it would have been the middle one about movies that are not improved at 1080p. It was still fun, but I can testify there's nothing more to see than you'd get on the DVD. Not in that movie. Sometimes but actually, it happens.
Last night I watched The Fifth Element in standard format because my mother-in-law-to-be had never seen it. And as you're watching it, it was occurring to me, I do need to get this at least in 1080p.
I have the Studio Canal remaster. And yes, you do need... That would be definitely going on quick listicle one, the movies, yep, which are at their best at 1080p. Absolutely phenomenal. So there we go. And Ian, just like when we've not tempted you to buy a console, I'm suspecting that we haven't tempted you to rush out and improve any of your editions of standard definition stuff from this experience.
No, I'm going to go to my cupboard and I'm going to rustle through my old audio cassette tapes.
Yeah, you're gonna go and get your VHS copies of...
No, audio cassette tapes. I mean, going back even further in time than that.
that's what I call doubling down. So, yes, on that bombshell, we shall wish everyone at home a very good day. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.